Hello and welcome to Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Avis.
I'm Caroline.
And today we're discussing Degrassi Season 3, Episodes 14 and 15, Accidents Will Happen, Parts 1 and 2. Roses are red. Manny doesn't need decongestant. Turns out she's feeling ill because Craig got her pregnant. Life has been hell for Manny lately. When Ellie and Ashley aren't harassing her in the hallways, everybody else is whispering about her boyfriend's stealing ways. At least she's got gymnastics to focus on. That is, until she realizes that her upset stomach isn't nerves or the bug that's flying around Degrassi, but rather a bun in the oven. With some help from Spike and some judgment from Emma, Manny navigates her way through making the difficult decision to terminate her pregnancy. Over in the B-plot, fake hacker Toby lands him and Jimmy in some hot water when he offers to change Jimmy's math grade, and Liberty gets a five-finger discount on a whole lot of cringy behavior. Like, actually, though.
All right. So we want to hit these B-plots first?
These B-plots are equally as cringy.
These B-plots... So one thing, and I'm going to post a screenshot I took of her, but one thing is that the first B-plot supports your fuck them kids theory.
Right, she right?
The way the face that Fawn is making as she sends Toby and JT away, she knew what was happening.
She waited she was looking at JT with that book she knew he wasn't reading because they were colluding. It was obvious. And they thought that she wasn't paying attention, but Quan is over there scheming and waiting for the precise moment that she can do maximum damage. Hi, Pancake.
Hi, baby.
Are you back, young lady? I know you can't hear me. She's so sweet.
Hi, baby.
Aw, she wants to give love and kisses.
Okay, but can you just lie down a little bit? Quan said fuck them kids. Let me
she
wait
did.
Until like you could have fucked them only the most for yes. me to catch them.
Yes. Actually though. Listeners, right now Caroline is being love bombed by a beautiful, beautiful shade of brown doggo. This young lady is just so close. To Caroline.
She's so incredibly close.
So if her audio kind of sounds a little muffled, yes, she has. As if you've ever had a dog or been, you know, acquainted with a dog, you understand they don't take no for an answer when they want love. So if Caroline's audio sounds like she's talking around a dog, it's because she is.
I am talking around a dog. Okay,
she's retreated.
She got
her cuddles, her bumping, her licks in. She's good.
Oh, now she's looking at void now. Aww. There's nobody there. It's fine. They don't like it when people walk down the street. They say, no,
this is our street. Our street. You go somewhere else. Yeah, but I'm glad that like the text supports the hypothesis that just like the assertion
it does.
Because Quan's literally
like, fuck these kids
and like the way that she is the villain. Quan is the real villain in this damn episode because she's a villain in the A plot too. We're gonna talk about it, but my number one issue with the first B plot here is that Toby. Is just the worst. I think what does he say? He says DJ
crazy guns.
And Jimmy's like
DJ
bad bullets.
No, it's DJ he's, Mad
DJ,
Bullets.
It's DJ Mad Bullets, and he says DJ Bad Bullets at the end. And Jimmy's like, I'm just done. That was like the floodgate broke. Jimmy was like, snap, you're just fake, man. Like, actually, though, I think it's funny how he points it out, because we're all thinking this, like, because there was a previous episode where Jimmy and Toby interacted, and it wasn't pleasant since he and Ashley have broken up. And now Toby's finally asking, like, why am I not friends with Jimmy anymore? And JT is like, because he's not dating your hot ass stepsister anymore. Like, why is this such a big, like, question mark
Jimmy
to you?
Jimmy is being, like, very mean to him, though.
He is, though. Like, they were never friends. He is being mean to Toby like they were never friends. So I definitely get why. But, like, for me, I would have done that critical thinking work to be like, maybe he's upset because of this. But at the end, but also the aggression is just because I don't know if Jimmy ever truly like Toby. Maybe that's what it really is. Like, they were never really friends,
right?
And which sucks. But, like, also Toby's personality in the first season was very sweet and repressed. Like, he had his moments with JT where he would speak out and do things, but and towards Ashley, but ultimately towards people he wanted to impress, he was very, like, demure, and he didn't. He was literally letting Jimmy shoot basketballs in front of him and, like, show him how to do jump shots. Dude, what dude who likes basketball wouldn't want to do that with a little, a little kid? Right. Like, their relationship was so different in season one. And I think that it's funny to see, like, Toby a little older. He's got his growing pains. He's awkward now. He's not, like, the obvious, like sizable height difference shorter than Jimmy anymore. They are now looking eye to eye, and Jimmy's older, less awkward. And it's definitely like, yeah, I don't need to be your friend. Like, we're good. Like, I'm good on you. It's definitely, I think it's Jimmy's ego kind of rising like a phoenix. Like, he's peaking on the ego train, because it just seems that's what it's giving to me. Like, the extra meanness is like a swagger. Like, I don't need to hang out with this kid anymore. Like, I'm not dating his sister. I don't need to hang out with his geeky ass, which sucks for Toby. But I actually really do think that's just what it boils down to. Jimmy is just like, we are not on that level anymore. But he gives him a chance. And Toby fumbles the ball, you know.
He does.
Did you rewind the part where his finger was pressing the 8?
No.
Did you rewind? Because his finger was so self-assured until he started, like, twitching at the end. He's saying, oh, it's sticky. Like, I've got to work with this computer because it's not that fast. And then he presses the 8 very intentionally multiple times. And it's not like a twitch. It's like a Morse code. it's pretty quick. Yeah. I just feel bad for JT in this situation, actually. The rare occasion that I feel bad for JT. Because JT was just trying to have a good time and go to a DJ Mad Bullets concert. And instead he got this
roped into Toby's
bullshit. It's okay, Pancake. Oh my God, if you want to be our co-host today, it's okay, Pancake.
I'm sorry, I'm trying.
Honestly, I don't think it's that big of a deal for the audio. I mean, your green is not going off, so if it's a little bit in the background, I don't think I care that much. It's not a big deal.
Can we talk about Toby's piece?
We can, and we can also, like, really look at him hard and be like, why did you feel the need to do that?
Right.
I have so many questions. Like, and right, like, Jimmy's reaction, okay.
Jimmy's reaction was perfect.
I love him in this episode because he's so relatable. He's just like, because Toby is channeling the weird energy he had in Whisper to a Scream with the Clarice. He is on a similar but completely, like, other plane, in this episode. But it's just like, why are you so cringy? Why do you have to do this?
Oh, because they hate Toby. Apparently,
they want to destroy his fucking character.
According to a comment in the group.
Ooh.
In our group, we are your mom's podcast group from Amy.
Nice. Nice. Okay.
He says Therese.
Hmm.
Which makes more sense because it's her name.
It does make more sense because Therese, that's funny. Yes, it does make more sense to say Therese.
It's still weird.
It's still weird. It's but,
still really fucking
But that's
weird.
A little bit more clever. It's also, I don't know if it helps with the cringe factor, though.
No, nothing helps with the cringe factor.
I don't think anything can save that whispered to a scream B-plot. I don't think anything can save that.
It was a bad day saved.
But thank you, Iggy. I think that that's important because, like, I think I've watched Silence of the Lambs way too much. I just love, I love Jodie Foster at any age, but I think I have such, like, a Silence of the Lambs crush on Jodie Foster. Because I love Panic Room, too, with the little baby Kristen Stewart. Uh-huh. But to have, like, the hair that she had in Silence of the Lambs, iconic. The accent was doing something for me. I don't know. But it maybe that's why I was just like, my brain refused to hear anything other than Clarice. But Clarice makes sense.
But should
what the
we
fuck, Toby?
Jump on over to the second B-plot?
Yeah, I think the only thing that's important to note about this B-plot is that Jimmy and Toby are going to be in the very special Raditch Saturday special the detention.
Way too aroused by this Saturday.
He's like, you can join my Saturday, my special Saturday detention. Like, he has been recruiting members for this shit. But actually, I love it because not to do too much on this B plot because I love the next episode. But I always had this little bit of a headcanon that Vernon from the Breakfast Club also kind of had this fetish for his Saturday detentions, and he recruited members for it. Like, he was looking for kids to bring into his Saturday detention. So I think it's funny to see the kind of like lead, like the similar likes. I think someone in a writer in Degrassi was like, yeah, we can put a little bit of a seed in there to say, yeah, this guy is way too excited to tell these kids they have a Saturday detention. But yeah, Toby and Jimmy will be in Raditch's special Saturday detention. And if you know, you know, the next episode's going to be, it's setting up the next episode very nicely. But we also got a set up in the previous episode. So they're just doing it. They just want us to know who's going to be in detention. And yeah, I think that that's probably the most important part of this B-plot. But let's scooch on over to the main attraction. Oh, right, the other right, we do. Okay. This one is not as satisfying to me.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like this one's got some good zingers. I feel like
I think the zinger level is like is higher.
Is iconic.
It is. And
I don't know.
We have more towers, but also less towers at the same time.
Yeah, we have more less towers. I love when he's like, he's got a smart girl thing. He liked the way you sent Veneret.
It was like masterly. Somethingly. I didn't take down the first word. But,
I do love, like, Sean being like, hey, I'm not into you. I shouldn't have been a dick about it.
Right.
I know someone who is.
It gives me season two Sean Cameron vibes, which I really needed from him because he's turned into such a fucking Eminem wannabe, and it's really
Sean
like
Shady.
Sean Shady. Thank you, Sean Shady. What is he wearing? in this whole good. Fucking episode. He looks like he's on the way to the beach, but also like on the way to like some alley. But he is good for introducing Towers and Liberty. I will give it that. But I like them together. I like Liberty and Sean together because it showcases how smart Sean is and how much he does mm-hmm. enjoy learning. And I really appreciate that because I think that he is supposed to just, we're supposed to forget that he was ever like because he was held back a grade and things like that, not even for academic reasons, but he was held back a grade. And now we're supposed right. to think he's dumb. He's hanging around with these kids who are smashing up a vending machine. Sure. So we're supposed to think he's an idiot. And I love that the show is like, no, oh, wow, they started importing Japanese cars in the 50s. That's cool. Like, he's genuinely interested in certain things. Like, he likes cars. He likes learning things about cars. And I think that that's a sweet thing that the text offers us about him in this B plot, because we're not getting good things when we're seeing him from Emma's point of view, which is really all we've seen him from. So,
right.
But Liberty's like, ooh, yeah, you're being nice to me. Like, oh my gosh.
I feel like we're so wrong with Towers. He's so adorable.
That is one of my notes, Caroline, that this is his actor. I actually want to like look up his actor's name because I don't know it. Travis Donegan. I think that's how Dunnigan. Donegan. I think that's how you pronounce that. Travis's face acting in this scene, he was giving nothing. After Sean says, I will never be interested in you, you know, and his little quippy, you're about as edgy as a butter knife, the iconic line, and Jay is like, you know, does what it says, whatever throwaway line Jay says, and then Towers has to look thoughtfully and be like, maybe I do like this girl,
right,
and do all of that, and it's like, you could have given him a line.
Well, you know, and I was thinking about that, right? Because the Degrassi lore is that he was fired because he was always late. Maybe he would have shown up on time if he had anything to fucking do.
Literally, maybe if it was like not an utter fucking practice and being a token, he would have showed up as scheduled and done a damn... Because he did a damn good job even late. Like, let's be clear. He did a damn good job even late. The things they gave him to work with were scraps.
Yeah.
It's the worst of the worst. It's worse than they give Hazel. At least Hazel gets to fucking talk.
She got a whole story.
Occasionally.
She
really stunk up the place. But she was given that nonetheless. She was given an opportunity to actually speak. Whereas Towers, we have not heard a word from this man. We get his feelings through Sean.
Right.
Literally being spoken by Sean, we're looking at the actor.
Yeah.
Why couldn't Sean just say, somebody else does like you, and then turn to the door? Yeah, and turn to the door, pan to the door, do a dolly zoom on this guy. Because y'all love a dolly zoom. Sean walks past him. And then he comes in. And he's like, I like the way you said, verily, whatever the fuck she said. And have the same scene with the actor saying his feelings. That's right. An easy way to get this guy to be able to talk.
Pancake. Yeah, no,
Pancake needs a security. Emotional I know.
Hold
security.
On. Let me see if I can encourage her to come over here. You, ma'am. Okay. She wants attention, that she wants to sit where she's sitting.
Fair.
And like, I get that.
Yes.
But baby girl, you better come to me or we can't.
You gotta work with me here.
I love you so much. Okay. And I feel like I covered
Justice
the
for Towers.
Justice
yeah.
for
I think,
Towers.
I think that's the biggest takeaway from that B plot, because literally all we know now is Liberty and Towers are going to most likely have a relationship, they have a blossoming relationship, because, but we also need to talk about the way that they had him stand in the glass and like rubbing his hands like Birdman.
Yeah, it's so weird.
It's so bad. And he's like licking his lips and everything like he sees something to eat. And I'm like, not good direction. Because I know he was directed to act that way.
Right. It's weird and like predatory.
It's weird and predatory. It ages him greatly, and he's literally supposed to be a grade above her.
Right. So, and I mean, maybe he got held back too. So maybe he's two grades above her. Yeah, but
there's
still.
There's not child left behind in Canada. They can leave you back. No child left Some behind is arguably left behind, eh? Shitty.
Not even arguably.
Right. Inarguably, it is pretty fucking shitty. But yeah, no, I think the cap on the pancake, young lady.
Baby girl. I'm so sorry to our listeners.
I feel like if anybody has a dog, you know, sometimes they just feel things so deeply.
I don't know what. And then she sometimes, needs. Like, all of her needs are met.
Sometimes they snore like they were just working in the coal mines,
right?
From 8 to 8. that's how my dog snores. Like she holds a full time job, working hard labor. Yeah.
This A plot was a really important one to me. I didn't know it existed for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't play it in the
States. We didn't know, right, yeah.
And so when I found it was actually, like, within a couple of months after I had my shrink motion.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I remember this one and being like, oh, yeah. Okay, well, Manny had an abortion, so.
So it helped. It made you feel like, okay, I feel seen. You know, this mm-hmm. isn't a taboo thing. But, like, I appreciate that, though. I think that because the Degrassi Classic series had a similar episode mm-hmm. and it was similarly banned in the U.S. in particular. Because over here, I guess we just obviously abortion is a thing that we just can't agree on as a fucking country. But it's definitely something that the first time I watched mm-hmm. it was greatly after this season. I had watched this season. So they mm-hmm. definitely, they just really cut it out of yeah. the zeitgeist, which really sucked because I think that I knew personally, you know, girls who were pregnant and who didn't realize they had other choices and who didn't, you know, pursue those other choices for reasons of like either lack of knowledge, lack of resources, etc., which is devastating because what if they were informed and had a choice?
Right. You know?
And I think that this episode really does go through the emotional journey of like, I'm not ready for this. And I'm not a bad person because I'm not ready for this.
Right.
She's 14. No, and like the fact that she 14. Says she's 14 and like, I can't like personally. And I did not have sex until I was almost 19. And that wasn't because of any moral high ground. It was literally because I was so not thinking about anything to do with my body until I was around that age. And I was like, okay, I would like to do this for myself. Like it wouldn't have been for myself. It would have been for different reasons before then.
Right.
But I definitely had friends who were very sexually active and I knew about it, you know, like I knew. But to yeah. like, even hear that sentence at 14, I think the majority of my friends were not 14 when they started having sex.
I love Paige in this episode. She shines yet again.
Paige is iconic in this episode. I love the way that she talks to Manny. I love that mm-hmm. I love that she holds the like two, it's happened twice, which isn't like a lot, but like, I love that it happened twice that she holds bathroom like community therapy. Like, I don't even know what to call it, like consultation. Like she literally, you know, educated Emma about the fact that sometimes your period comes. It doesn't mean you're not still in some version of adolescence and right. You can still take your time growing up. And then having to like talk to Manny about, oh, did you feel the, like, did you feel the condom? Did you hear him put it on? Like, those questions are, I love Paige so much in this episode, because the way that she like switches from being like, are you serious, to being like, you are serious. Okay. Like, she is very, it's like big sister energy. I love it. Well, I love like the snark. And then she's like, okay, I actually need to help you out. Damn. Wow.
One of the things that I thought about when I was watching it was, okay, so stuffing was not a thing we were talking about back then. To be clear, stuffing is not what Craig did.
No,
Craig is not guilty of stupidity. Craig is guilty of really poor communication. But I don't think, like, other than those things, like, Craig didn't do something wrong in not wearing a condom, other than the normal did something wrong in not wearing a condom. No glove, no love. Guys.
Literally.
Did you literally watch She's Too Young?
Did you watch She's Too Young? If you didn't, you should, on our Patreon. But actually, though, like, the poor communication between Manny and Craig is astounding. And I think that that's what the episode also wants to talk about, is like, if you are not old enough or mature, not even old enough, if you're not mature enough to discuss sex blatantly for your own safety, you should not be doing it. And right. Paige says a version of that. She says, before you get naked, make sure, you know, that
you ask questions first, get naked.
Right, later, get naked later. Yes.
Well, like, yes, the poor communication. So I don't think that Craig did anything wrong in not wearing it. Okay. I think it was wrong not to wear a condom, but I don't think it was like stuffing levels of wrong.
It wasn't stuffing, it was miscommunication.
And yet, I feel like Manny had to feel so violated.
Yes. She, and her reaction.
And I feel like
Paige
picked up on that.
Yes. And that's and why she like, treated her so kind. I mean, that's why. I think the whole situation kind of just, Paige's empathy is always very high. I think she has always had the ability to kind of talk to people and be like, okay, I see you where you're at. But I also think that the way Manny is like reacting to the situation definitely indicates to me that she's been violated in some way.
Yeah, definitely.
And Paige is picking up on her like realization of that, and that's part of why she's talking to her this way. And I don't think that's all of why, but I do think that plays a role because she's picking up on that.
Yeah. No, I think that makes sense.
It definitely feels like it's a very tender moment between these two people who have obviously had their moments. You know, they haven't even hit peak frenemy status, obviously, right. But they've had their moments where they've just not been the kindest to each other. And I think that the fact that Paige is still able to have these moments with people that she is not personally friends with or even really pleasant with all the time is really indicative of her maturity. And because like that's Manny would have never thought to think about hearing a condom being opened or feeling it. Like that was her first time. And just her reaction to saying like to Craig's interpretation of
her saying okay. It was okay.
Yeah. She's like, I meant that it was okay. Like it was my first time, you know, like it's so earnest. And I love Cassie's like acting in this entire
She's
Carter is phenomenal. Free. And she's up, she's down. And when she goes once from the school to Spike to like Spike, I'm pregnant.
That I noticed was Manny ages so much in this episode.
Yeah, she does. Like when she goes to count. Can we talk about that?
Oh my god.
When she goes to count her period, I'm just like, it takes me. I used to track my period with little flower stickers on my wall calendar. And my wall calendar when I first got my period it was so cute. Like a little printout, and she had all her little gel pen, colored pens, and making her different notes. And Oh, I was just like, period apps, I take them for granted. Because it'll just be like, hey, your fertile window's going to start here. Your period might start in the next 7 days. It's like, bitch, I forgot that thing existed.
You really do forget every fucking month.
Uh-huh.
It's absurd. Like it's and that was a royal you, not a you. Like we all
no
do.
Right. It's we all do. Like, no, literally.
Oh, why am I bloated and cranky? Why do I eat everything? Why am I crying?
Oh yeah.
Boom. Period.
Yeah. Period drops. Yeah. No, it's and she, like the she finds out to like look. Well, not finds out, but she realizes a similar sentiment. Like, oh, we forget it exists because our life is just fine without our periods. Like, if we could exist without our periods and like without any like you know birth control or anything, I don't think any woman would really question it. So she's like the overarching thing in this episode is Manny is really, you know, hinging on her gymnastics meet. She wants to bring home a golden beam and she just did a great beam practice, but Hazel needs a tampon and Emma's out. So guess who has tampons? It's Manny because she hasn't had her period in a month of Sundays. So it's actually really hilarious to me that
that Hazel bursts into. She's hilarious. She's like,
the Hazel's like, oh, it's bloody down here. Who's got a tampon?
She's
50
like, 50 bucks
to
whoever can give me a tampon right now. Did you not see that front forward hand walk gymnastic move? Mm-hmm. Was straight out of a horror film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, and then, you know, she's used as a plot device once again to bring up the period question.
Why would you ask that question in the bathroom when you just watched Hazel walk into a stall? Emma Nelson, did you learn nothing from Rumors and Reputations?
She didn't. Emma learned zero. Zip.
She's
zilch.
Like, shit.
Because that is not my only problem with her in this episode, obviously, but... like the I do like the way they portray their relationship of like, okay, the feminine thaw of if you've ever had a relationship with another woman, you know that they're intense, they're emotional, but they're fulfilling. But if you have an argument, a disagreement, and there's a standoff and there's that emotional freeze out, there needs to be something to thaw that. And I think that they, you know, do a good job at like using the gymnastics as a way to get Emma to compliment Manny, which is her way of waving the white flag, mm-hmm. and Manny to engage with that compliment and then give her a compliment back. And it's the feminine thaw in like practice. It's like, okay, now we are on level playing field and we can begin again type of thing.
Right.
And we can start talking about more emotional matters.
It was interesting to watch this episode this time. Emma still, like, ultimately Emma really pisses me off in this episode. We'll get to that.
Yes, she does. She's so bad in this episode. Like, the first part.
But she notices that her friend is struggling.
She does.
Or her ex-friend is struggling.
Her ex-friend.
And she cares. And she, you know. She... I like Emma in the first half of this episode. The second half.
Oh, right. The second half is where she takes a shit, in the bed.
Well, and it's proverbially. Like, and honestly, I can empathize with it, right? Because her mom got pregnant at 14 and could have aborted her and didn't. And I think it's a fairly
I don't even know if her mom was 14. I think she was younger than that.
Damn.
Yeah, I think because she was in junior high.
It's a fairly common thing, especially when you're younger, for people who, like, were adopted or were born to young parents that, like, because it's so easy to say, like, oh, I could have been aborted.
Yeah.
That it can be really easy to take abortion as a whole very personally.
I agree with that. And I think that I kind of think that's what we're supposed to take from her feelings Mm-hmm. Especially because of what she says, I think it's fair to bring this up in this line of conversation about her ending sentiment, because it always stood out to me.
It makes of me her so saying, mad.
Well, if she was just some stranger on the street, I'd be furious, but she's my friend. Right. And it's her choice.
It's never sat right with me too, right? Because never. Like, okay.
That's so, not a qualifier you can make and walk away with it for me.
I don't this, but assuming Emma believes that abortion is murder, mm-hmm. why are you going to be more mad at a stranger you don't know, quote-unquote murdering a quote-unquote baby that you right. never would have known than mm-hmm. you are with your best friend, quote-unquote murdering a quote-unquote baby who, like, you would have been heavily involved with? It does. Yeah. Make it make sense, Emma.
Like, are you saying because she's your friend, you can empathize with her more and that you don't empathize with strangers? Because I would find that hard to believe for someone who's talking about squeegee kids and how do they feel being called squeegee kids and things that she's upheld as a character prior right. to this. That makes it's a me weird think choice. That you care about other people's feelings that you don't know. So why? Make it make sense.
Yeah, I don't love it. I don't love it.
It's telling of how I think she just kind of makes it up as she goes along because she's a kid. And I mean, that's fine. But ultimately, Manny is made worse in this journey by her judgment. And I mean, of course, you could argue that Emma feeling like, okay, I need to say something because we're friends and have this dialogue and I kind of need to challenge that you're not making this for the wrong choices or the wrong reasons or whatever. I still think it's unfair of Emma to judge her as harshly as she judged her.
Right.
But I do agree that having such a close relation to this subject makes Emma's point of view very skewed in the direction.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, is like I don't blame Emma for being anti-abortion. I don't even necessarily blame Emma for like being shitty when yeah. Manny first tells her. Like right. all of that feels very like I understand where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. But I blame Emma for her stupid like if she were some stranger, I'd be furious with her. That may be like my most hated line in all of Degrassi.
Yep.
Like it might be.
I actually think it is too. Wait, I think that's the episode to my most hated line in all of Degrassi. Because I feel that that is really like what I remember about this episode, though I've watched it many times, is just like the judgment. Like, what are you talking? Like, you're saying, what? Right. What? Like, if she's some stranger, I'd be furious, but she's my friend and it's her choice. Okay, cut everything out except for it's her choice, because that's what right. that's all you should have said.
Right.
You should have just yelled at Craig and said, she's my friend and it's her choice. But to me, that's still a qualifier.
Because for me, what I see that as is I'm standing up for.
Yeah.
You're saying, like, you're not telling Craig that Manny's your friend. You're telling Manny that Manny's your friend in that moment.
Fair.
So I would allow that. I would give Emma the benefit of the doubt there. But if she would be, oh, it needs to be so bad. Fuck yourself. It does. All right. Have we ever mentioned that this is an Emma Nelson slander podcast?
I think we mentioned it once or twice.
Okay. new listeners, this is an Emma Nelson slander podcast.
Yeah. And it's just like she really peaks in her horribleness in this episode, because it's so hard to just watch her be so self-righteous and telling Manny, oh, you know, she's like, I can't go to school and be huge and blah, blah, blah. Like when she's saying, oh, there's adoption agencies with awesome counselors. How do you know? Right. Literally, how do you know? And to say that she can get through all of the pregnancy and people talking shit about her and this and that, could you get through that?
Right. No, it's very,
like, you're putting yourself in her shoes without actually putting yourself in her shoes to say, oh, you're fine, I'm dismissing your concerns about this whole thing. It's just a life. It's just a life that you have to bring into this world and then part ways with as soon as you bring this child into the world. How is that? And not to say that adoption is not virtuous and necessary for some people and an option. I'm just saying for Manny and for a lot of people, people will definitely start out and saying, oh, okay, I'm adopting out this child, and then have the child and make a different choice because it's such an emotional journey to carry a child and have the child.
Right.
And I think it's harder. It's you're telling a 14-year-old girl who just had her first time a couple of months ago and is clearly very emotionally, like, she's emotional as fuck right now. You're expecting her to be able to part ways with this child after carrying this child, and she has Craig up her ass like an enema. You think she's going to be able to do that?
Right.
Like, she's going to, if Craig pampers her as a pregnant woman for the better of, you know, 10 months, do you really think that she's going to be able to do that?
Right.
Like, you see that you literally called them parents in training. Why do you think that Craig is going to go along with that?
Right. Right. And it's a lot hard, like, no.
With when you don't have the dad's permission. Well, you can't just.
And this is why what to do with a pregnancy is a personal
choice. It's a personal choice because there's multiple factors. Everybody's different.
Like, you know. If I got pregnant right now, it's not like I would just, like, make the decision without even consulting Forrest.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I wouldn't. It would ultimately be my choice.
Right.
It would be, hey, I'm pregnant. And honestly, probably that's the only way that I'm finally going to ever have a baby. Like, if I'm going to birth a child, it's going to be because I accidentally get pregnant. Because, like, I am pro-choice. It's not a choice I would make again. Because it wouldn't be the right choice for me at this moment.
Right.
But, like, also I didn't know that until it happens. Because I don't want to give birth to a baby.
Right.
But it all sounds terribly unpleasant to me.
As someone who wants to birth a baby, it all sounds terribly unpleasant to me. And I'm really worried about it.
Yeah,
I'm greatly. I have so much concern.
It's not even the birth. It's the pregnancy.
Pregnancy can truly take you the fuck out.
Like,
no, you can't smoke anything. It's from what I'm told.
It's not
smoke salmon. None of that shit. No, nothing smoked.
No.
No, and I mean, like, the birth, like, it. As a Black woman in America, you know, the birth. Fatality is the risk of me dying in childbirth is greatly higher. So that,
well, if you do
sucks.
That, baby better survive because it's gonna have a podcast to co-host.
you will inherit a podcast, son or daughter. Yeah, no, literally. It's definitely like a personal squeaky toy choice.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Like, doggies love their squeaks.
She really does. She's just like, how can I be a fucking problem today? But I love her so much. No. Birth is a daisy sounds hard, and don't die doing it because I don't want to have a podcast with a baby. I'll be like, so that baby Avis, what did you think of this week's episode? And it'll just be like, and like, that's not good content.
That's not good content. I know.
How am I gonna fucking edit that?
You'd have to switch to video so that you could at least show my useless child in their in their bassinet drooling. No, it's just definitely like a thing that you can't make any guilt anybody into, and the fact that that just happens so often really fucking sucks. And I'm glad Manny didn't allow herself to be guilted into having a fucking human life come out of her.
Can we talk about, I feel like the more that I'm watching, the more I believe that they had Craig's mental health shit planned out from the get, from like the get.
Oh, yes. Thank you. No, actually, yes. That's how I felt during this too. I was just like, oh my gosh, Craig is about to have another peek in an episode. He's about to have continuing mental health issues, and I think they laid the breadcrumbs. Like him saying, "I just stay at some guy's house," so disheartening. I feel right. So bad for Joey. Why is Joey just going about his day and receiving these random ass shots to the heart? Like he's damn, that hurt. I wonder.
Know. I don't.
Like it sucks the way it's that he says that.
It's not that he doesn't love Joey. It's not. It's that he. I think it's that he knows that Joey has no obligation to him. That can go away at any time. And yes. Even when what you know of Joey is that Joey's not going to take that away from you, it can still go away at any time.
Right.
And that's hard. And that's scary. And I think it's about, like, you know, Craig is a fucking orphan.
Yeah.
He's got a sister and his sister's dad, who has no obligation to him, who loves mm-hmm. him, and who mm-hmm. I think he believes loves him, but also, like, again, there's no obligation. And when there's no obligation, it can get pulled out from under you. Not that your yes. real parents can't just say, like, fuck you, but...
Mm-hmm.
And so but for it's not...
Yeah, a lot less likely.
Joey's not good Craig's enough eyes, anything. I guess. It's just that...
This is how Craig feels. And I mean, it's valid.
A family, and this is a family.
And I mean, that's valid. I definitely see the validity in how he feels, but I also feel like it just is so hard to hear. I think it definitely, but you know, it has to bring in that, the person who has a child for the reason of wanting to create their own family so that they have that. Because they never had that. And that's definitely something that I don't understand, but I think mm-hmm. is very, you know, it's obviously something very difficult to imagine because Craig's entire story is very sad. And you don't blame him for having this sort of take on it. Like, I right. definitely don't think it's odd, but I do think that it is laying the seeds for us understanding that he is just not altogether well at this point. Like we have to come to expect that there are going to be, you know, like Spinner says, like there's like Spinner has the rational thought process about it. Not like being like a typical teenage guy. Like he's actually said, like there are things you can do. It's not just, I think Spinner having that conversation with Craig instead of being like, dude, like, just take care of it and like an old school, like a very reductive take. He actually seems to have a like a mature thought process about it mm-hmm. instead of just thinking about a child as a magical fairy that is dropped down by the stork and fixes all of our problems.
Right.
Like the way they talk about Jack, like he is like, I know he's gorgeous. Like all babies are gorgeous, but babies are little souls. They're little people, and they're not babies for very long.
Right. They're whole humans, and you should not be creating a whole human to fill some void in your life.
Go off, actually, though. But that's, and I mean, there are multiple reasons why people have babies. And I mean, despite the reasoning, I feel like as long as you are not doing it for like harmful reasons to like hurt someone or to get back at someone, or I even think borderline to like save a relationship can be manipulative. Be like, oh, okay, I'm gonna like it's
have a baby.
Oh, it's the worst, but like to be like, I think there's a manipulative nature to be like, okay, I can make this person stay with me, like mm-hmm. I can trap this person if I have their child, or if I get them pregnant,
change your behavior for a couple of months. Like, oh, you're talking about it from the male perspective.
Both perspectives.
Well, because from a female perspective, it's easy enough because men don't understand our bodies. So just like fake it for a couple of months, change your behavior, suck them back in, suck a lot of dick during that time, and then be like, oh, I had a miscarriage, super bummer. And then they're going to want to, you know, they'll help you grieve that. And then, boom, you've got them locked back in. And you don't have to ruin your body.
You heard it first here, guys. Caroline's.
Don't do that. Don't do any of that. Several step
process to revitalizing your relationship.
Without bringing a defenseless human into the world. I mean, if you are going to use a pregnancy to manipulate somebody, better a fake pregnancy than a real pregnancy.
Than a real... I really totally don't want to drop this fucking soundbite, but I think we already have it in drive of fucking Anya saying, I had a miscarriage.
Super bummer.
Because that's the same energy that you were trying to tell our listeners is and I mean, morally, it's 100% better to fake a pregnancy than to get pregnant for, underhanded reasons. However, both are not good.
Yeah, don't do either.
Don't do either of those things. But yeah, it's just like it's definitely sad to think about Craig's stake in this. And he's definitely in it for all the wrong reasons, but also in it for reasons that I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame him for, but I'm great. I'm so happy that I just don't think it would have been a good storyline to carry out with them being pregnant.
No, I don't think it would have been good. I mean, it probably would have been interesting. Although probably Manny's parents would have just sent her to a convent.
And that would have been the most believable part of it.
Right.
Because I think if they made it sort of any sort of other thing, even letting her be pregnant and then forcing her to give up the baby, I don't think would have been realistic because they wouldn't have wanted people to see her pregnant. Yeah. Would have been a completely different show if they had decided to go through with this storyline.
Yeah. I think it makes sense. And it was the best decision for everybody.
For everybody. But most specifically, Manny. It was Manny's decision. She had her mother's support. Her mother asks, you know, is she going to be hurt? Is she going to be okay? You know, like.
Yeah, her mom actually really kind of comes through.
She does, which Spike says, like, my mom surprised me. Mm-hmm. She was very, you know, like, supportive. And I remember the scene where Spike tells her mom, they're in a car sitting in a parking lot, that she's pregnant. And she says she thinks she might be. And then they go take the test and she is pregnant. And it's not a similar scene, but because they talk way more in depth, but the energy of like, what are you going to do?
Right.
Like, what are we doing here is prevalent in both, interactions with the moms, which I appreciate because it's not, oh, well, you know, I'm angry. What I have expectations on what you're going to do, blah, blah, blah. Right. It's like, I'm shocked. But where's your head at? What are you thinking?
Right. I also... I lost it.
It flew away like a baby bird.
Oh, it's unrelated. But much like ice skate, like figure skating. Gymnastics, like...
They're so niche. And you can't randomly do it.
Well, no, it's not surprising. Like, we've seen her do gymnastics, you know, not in the little unitard, but like, and it makes sense.
She can do cartwheels and other things and cheerleading. Yeah.
Like, cheerleader, gymnastics, figure skater all like vibe together. But also, that's where do you have the time?
Where do you have the time
to do three of these very demanding sports?
Demanding, and they all like. It's not like you can say, "Oh, people only ice skate in the winter competitively." It's not like you can say people only compete. And I mean, there are like when you are doing gymnastics, there are meets all the time. When you are skating, there are meets all, and there's practices all the time. Even you're if you're training not competing, you have to train. And and then she's also supposed to be a cheerleader. So it's like, I just think it's a lot, Degrassi writers. We could have just had her, but then they, you know, of course they wanted to find a way to get Manny and Emma in the same activity. Right. And it's only, you know, like Emma hates cheerleading. She would never do cheerleading. And Emma's not shown to do figure skating. And it's not the right season for that. So what do?
Gymnastics.
Boom. Makes sense. Because Emma wouldn't be on a dance team or anything like that. Like, we see your thought process, guys.
We did get another great Degrassi awkward run. When Manny falls off the balance beam and just runs out. And I love a Degrassi awkward run.
Can we talk about Hatzilakos? Like, are you good? Did you fall? Like, what's going on? Get back up.
Yeah.
The way that Mrs. Eight, like, the rent is, she's got money on this fucking meat.
She's got money on this meat. She's got her entire home.
On the, like, collateral. Yes.
On this meme.
She's like, don't, in the beginning of the first part, she's like, because Kendra, we do see Kendra in this episode, despite the fact, like, she's here to go on top of the, like, the uneven bars, barely, and then, like, pretend to, you know, get sick and run away. And that prompts Miss H to say, give us this exposition that we need, obviously, just to tell us, guys, don't breathe air. This stomach bug that's going around isn't going to get any other of my star gymnasts.
What is this transatlantic accent?
It was like, where's the money? See, like,
yes, like, I know exactly what you're doing.
I don't know. I don't know.
The cutest fucking thing. I love an early morning recording with you. He's like, I feel like we're always a bit loopier in the morning.
Loopy, yes, yes. I agree. Me too. Yeah, no.
And now Mrs. H is on a tear. Peacefully as fuck.
They're just knocked the fuck out. Like, they worked once again in the coal mines. They just came home from the coal mines.
Fuck Miss Kwan when Manny needs to go vomit.
She's like, please.
The way she said, please send me. And Miss Kwan's like, Manny, coming to school sick.
She's like, please, Ms. I'm gonna barf on your shoes. She's like, Manny choosing to come to school pregnant.
Is Miss Kwan A?
Oh, shit. That is a much more satisfying reveal to me than fucking Spencer's British twin. It's Kwan. I just would have loved if, like, they sat around and, like, they're like, do you want to know who A is? Do you know Miss Kwan from Degrassi? The Next Generation, a Canadian teen drama and beloved national treasure. International treasure, you're right. Yeah, no, it's canon. She's A. And I love that so much more because she's got all the fucking secrets. That's why her hair is so big. It's full of secrets. Her hair is not that big.
It's not that big. Because she keeps it neat and tidy. She files the secrets.
She does. She's got chopsticks back there or a pen that she's chewing on.
Stuck in my head for like a month.
I just can't unsee Lucy Hale's fucking like off-center ass finger. Like, why didn't they take it again?
This is not a Pretty Little Liars podcast.
I think at this point it's a Pretty Little Liars fucking slander podcast, because I'd be fine doing that. I'd be fine just ripping it to fucking shreds. Not critically, just Aria. Yes, we can. Oh my gosh. But yeah, I think what else really happens? Like, I mean, yeah, Miss H, Miss Kwan is a fucking asshole. Ashley, damn it.
Okay.
Damn it. Because Paige reveals to Ashley and Ellie. Well, Ellie sees what's going on with Craig and Manny. They're in the halls canoodling. He's carrying her books. Paige and Ellie exchange a knowing glance. And then Paige goes to talk to Ashley and tells her, I think it might be worse. I think Craig might have got Mandy pregnant. So she gets a tip. And of course, it's confirmed when they are literally reading a book called So You Need a Name in the Calf. And yeah, I mean, if Ashley had that choo-choo-choo-choo sound like... like cute, I'm sure. Sorry,
but what?
Choo 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 choo. Like that horn.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, guys? Yeah. That's what she, because like.
What you all missed was that as Avis was making that sound, she was with her hands, like it looked like she was making it rain.
Yeah.
I think she was like, choo 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 choo.
Choo choo choo. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I was thinking about it, and like, do I love that Paige tells Ashley no? But no, I also get it.
But I actually, right, but I get it. And I think it's
your friend.
The situation has become untenable.
Right.
I've got to show my cards. Because damn, like, who really thought that it, like, yeah. It's fine when you're just fucking Craig. It's different when you. Ashley is.
And?
Irate.
And I get it. Like, it's not appropriate, but it is, like, a like.
She's, like, incredible. She's, like, drunk on, like.
She's
got,
so
like,
mad.
Like, I knew. I can't believe this shit. She, in the way that, like, the whole tone of the show shifts after this one scene is insane. Because after somebody says, because it's so difficult to use a condom. In the calf, like, all bets are off. Like, now
right.
We have a new tone, because we've said condom. We've talked about using condoms in the general forum.
No,
and somehow this didn't happen when Manny and Craig had sex for the first time. It's this instance to me, because there are younger kids in this. Like, Degrassi now goes there as a school. Now, now they're Ashley did that. Because damn, did you really have to put them on blast like that? She was so angry.
She's so angry. She's so angry, and she has every right to be so angry.
I mean, she's like, I can't believe you slept with her. Like,
yeah, no, and I mean, I get it. She's out of line. It wasn't like, but also, I don't know, like. Manny did seek out Craig knowing Craig was in a relationship.
Thank you. And I think that that's my thing with Manny, and why I'm like, Manny, you are kind of lying to Ashley in the beginning, in the first part when you're like, Craig lied to me too. But Craig did not pursue you.
Right.
You pursued Craig.
Right.
You were there waiting for Craig to have a moment where you could make yourself available to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that Craig was not wrong for the part he played in it, but no, you wanted to engage with Craig.
Right.
Like, you had a desire to be in his presence. And if you didn't, you wouldn't have pursued him as hard as you did.
Mm-hmm.
And I just sip my tea because I think it's an unpopular opinion to like demonize her at all. And I don't think that, I think that she is still a character that I'm going to come out of our critical rewatch adoring, but she makes a lot of mistakes in judgment because she is right. Just trying to do what she thinks is going to get her the reaction she wants. And right. She wants to be desired by Craig. So she puts herself out there and makes herself available so that Craig is going to choose her.
And ultimately, like, yes, ultimately Craig makes the choice. And Manny mm-hmm. is not dating Ashley. Manny is not even friends with Ashley. Like,
mm-hmm.
Manny outside of, like, standard girl code. I mean, and it's not even a violation of girl code, really. But, like, of standard human decency. Like, she has no obligation to Ashley. she doesn't sexually assault Craig. Like, Craig makes that choice.
Right.
And he is ultimately to blame. Mm-hmm. But I would say that Manny is far more to blame than if, like, she had gone to another school and just didn't know Craig had a girlfriend and, like, whatever.
Right. And, you know. Exactly. Like, if there was an element of ignorance here, but she went into it with full knowledge of the situation and still made the choices that she made against
Girl Code. I think it would be different, too, even if she knew Ashley existed, but mm-hmm. Craig was pursuing her.
Correct. If there was, but like she, because the pursuit was entirely up to her.
Right.
She is wrong for that.
Yeah.
And I think she knows she's wrong. And I think that's part of why she's like, she just, I think she has a lot of feelings on the subject, but I definitely also think that because Craig decides that he wants to be with her again, she once again feels chosen. And that is one of the things she really wants to feel, mm-hmm. is desired and valued. And I mean, relatable. We all want to feel desired and valued. But it's just Craig has never indicated to you that he's capable of that.
Right.
Right. Like, you can barely have a
literally nothing.
A baby is not going to change that. And literally your communication has been scant at best. Right. You don't know him.
Right. And he doesn't like you.
He doesn't like you.
Which
is, it's really fucking sucks. It's a hard pill to swallow because she's so heavily pursuing this man, but that's literally what it is.
Right.
Like, he's just not that into you. That film, it's anachronistic. You need to watch it when it comes out, and I'm sure you did. Manny, I'm sure you did. Because I'm sure when I watched it the first time, I was just like, there are multiple scenarios in this film that just, like, did not need to hit me that hard.
Right.
Yeah. If you guys have not seen He's Just Not That Into You, it's a great post-Valentine's Day watch. it's a little bit of a palate cleanser. Yeah. But I can't, you know, I can't be sweet about the fact that she definitely makes choices here that lead to this emotional, like, turmoil that she's in.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, Craig's response is the desired response, but he's doing it for, like, his own completely very selfish reasons. And yes, right. Completely different. Yeah. Completely just. And Manny does not know anything about those reasons because I don't really think, like, they haven't talked about their home lives and things like that. Like, they don't talk. They don't have conversations. She doesn't know how he feels, vice versa.
Right.
And yeah, it's just a surface level relationship, mm-hmm. that is just so different from what he has with Ashley, because Ashley is actually, like,
they have things in common.
Yes. They've hung out without sex and intimacy of, not intimacy, because there, I'm sure there was intimacy involved, but without being intimate, without kissing, in, you know, like, they've hung out as friends. They were right. friends before they started dating. There's a
foundation to their relationship besides just fucking.
Fucking, right.
And Manny and Craig don't have that. And, like, mm-hmm. now all they have is, like, trauma bond.
Yes.
Which is a slightly more stable foundation than just fucking, but only mm-hmm. slightly.
Only slightly. exactly. Let me look at my notes, because I feel like I think I've exhausted everything, but this is such an iconic episode that I really do.
Right. No, and it's an important, oh, this isn't important, but I do have a couple of notes. So first mm-hmm. off, when Manny doesn't show up at school and Craig's just walking around carrying the carton of milk looking lost. I don't have anything to say on that. I just wanted to draw attention to it.
Just wanted to be known. Yeah.
And then also I love when, oh, we did have more lurking Emma going on, which I always love. But no, Man, he's like, what's it like being a single mom? And Spike's like, well, it sucks, but you get sticky candy kisses.
And ornaments made out of toilet paper. Ooh.
Like.
Girl, don't nobody want that shit.
Spike was like, this girl needs to have an abortion, but I can't flat out tell
but her I can't, she needs right?
to have an abortion.
To be, like, literally, again, as someone who wants to be a mother, that sounds like the jankiest, most, like, busted description ever. I don't want sticky candy. That's, like, the last kiss that I want.
I used to have this friend who had, like, way too many kids. She had, like, 4 by the time she was, like, 24.
Okay.
And she used to send me pictures of them, and, like, 90% of the time, I swear to God, they were, like, covered in spaghetti sauce. And I'm just like, this is not cute to me. Like, no judgment, but wash your children. Or don't, but don't send me pictures of them. So, should we start with the music corner?
Yes. And actually,
you didn't listen to the song?
I am woefully underprepared. Hang on. Okay, I'm going to. Is it? Wait. What? Elvis Costello and the Attraction, right?
Yep.
Okay. Why is the first thing that popped up was Thomas and Friends?
I don't know.
Muting it. I will be right back. Okay. I think this is way more thematic than usual. Thematically relevant than usual.
Yes, I agree.
And I mean, maybe it's because of my interpretation of Hit and Run is maybe a little bit different than Elvis Costello meant, but yeah, that was one of the, that was the Hit and Run. Though he says he'll wait forever, it's now or never, but she keeps him hanging on. That more reminds me of like Ashley and Craig.
Yeah, no, I think Ashley this one, I doubt they did it on purpose, but...
I doubt they did it on purpose, too. I don't listen to much Elvis Costello, but this it's funny because Spike and Snake go to an Elvis Costello concert.
They do.
So maybe they just, maybe they're like, oh, that's funny because Spike is in this episode, blah, 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 and she loves Elvis Costello. Who knows? But it's a great song title.
It felt very much like it sounded like something out of Grease.
Yes. It's very, like, easy, breezy day, like, upbeat, but they're talking about some shit that,
Upbeat but heavy. It sounds like,
Upbeat but heavy.
Like the beginning of Blue Moon. Or not Blue Moon. Hopelessly Devoted.
Hopelessly Devoted.
My heart's not the first to be broken. My eyes aren't the first to cry. It also gave me, like, 80s school dropout vibes.
It definitely wasn't, like, I feel like I'm realizing that these titles are just so good that they're like, okay, if it happens that the song lines up in some way, that's just
that's great, but that's not accident. What we're, that's not what we're shooting what we're going for here.
It's not that kind of potty. But no, it definitely has a lot of like it's very 50s sort of inspired, which
also fits with the liberty of it all.
Right, it fits with the liberty of it all. So that's helpful. You know, was this a good choice for it to be my first Elvis Costello song? Probably not, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. So I didn't have a lot of fashion this episode.
I didn't really either, because like it's more in the first episode I had like, oh, you know, this is a good fashion moment. In the first frame almost of Ellie, Ashley, and Manny in the hallway, I do like Ellie's outfit.
Did you notice she wore it twice?
Is it the she wore dress? It twice? Yeah, it's that Mitchy Matchy corset plaid ensemble. Yeah.
It's like the
with all of the crisscrosses. Plaid. Yes.
But make it an alt corset dress.
Correct. And I mean, it works for her. She's pretty confident in it when she's delivering her little bitch ass line. So it's working. The detail on Ashley's shirt, I like the cut of it, but I truly don't understand why they had to put this detail. It just looks like, at first I thought it was like a bag she was carrying, but she's carrying her bag on the other shoulder. So it's just the design of the fucking shirt. And I don't know what it's supposed to be. But Manny's outfit is the outfit she goes on to throw up in. And it's off the shoulder. But then it's also a split shoulder on the other side. And it's like that gauzy material, that floaty material. She's got really accentuated billowy arms that have like so much extra fabric that when she goes to vomit, part of it gets in the toilet. And that's how you know there's no water in the toilet, which is good because her sleeves would be soaked. And she's got this little newsboy, this tan newsboy cap on. The actual like design of the shirt, I don't appreciate. It's just a lot going on. It just seems to be her thing to wear busy ass. And I mean, it was kind of a thing of the time too, but busy ass shirts.
I really like Emma's shirt in that scene too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a dark blue kind of like, it's not linen, but it's that like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Paige is wearing a similar one and I like Emma's better.
And it's just, it's very cute. It's simple. Mm-hmm. I also really loved Paige, her outfit with like the little loose sweater and the sunglasses tucked into the V-neck.
Yes.
And I love the picture that I got of her. She's like serving fucking looks at Craig as she's walking into class, knowing that he's about to be a baby daddy.
Oh, shit. Lovely. I'm looking forward to that screenshot. So my next one is literally, I don't know what they're doing with her sleeves during this episode, but this little brown number, I actually got a pretty good screenshot of the actual sleeve. And it's just a scrap of fabric, just like literally someone cut off the top part of her sleeve and left the bottom. Why did we do this? And it's just it's a really unflattering, color and like blend of material. And you can just, I think they put her in it because she's supposed to be less wanting to be noticed, and she's trying to lay low.
Right.
I think she's definitely supposed to be less of like the sex symbol she's kind of built herself up to be. Although her style is relaxing a bit. She's definitely coming to understand.
Like in that scene with her and Craig, like when he talks to her before class and then when they're in the fucking cafeteria looking at baby names.
And she just like shifts in, like, into all cotton.
Like a nice long sleeve like, cotton shirt.
She's like six weeks pregnant and she's on
yoga and Lamont's class. And then she's going to come home and eat steel cut oats while she watches The Bachelor and cries.
Oh my gosh. Like that, right? They're just already turning, like the momness that they put upon Manny is so real in this episode right after she finds out. Like even when she talks to Craig and he's confronting her in the end, her outfit and well, the outfit she also goes to get her abortion in, her sweat suit is it's covering everything. She's not even like, it's all kind of hanging off of her too, like she didn't even button or zip up and put it on her shoulders correctly. It's askew because she doesn't care. And she's just so covered, and it's as baggy as they will let her wear something baggy. Like it's definitely supposed to be like she is just not feeling it, right? And she's also in her mom era, I guess, so we have to and like, can we talk about Craig's shirt too?
Yes.
In that same screenshot, because it looks so small for him. I can see his belt and his shirt is like right above his belt. Like if he puts his arms up, he's showing belly. And it's like a, looks like a like Little League, like baseball tee inspired sort of vibe. But the sleeves are really awkward. They're three quarter. They come right above his elbow. And it just, it looks like this is a shirt he's probably had since he was like 10 years old. And he should probably stop wearing it because he's had several growth spurts since
Well,
then.
He can't buy new clothes now. He's got a baby on the way.
Damn it. He and that baby are going to be wearing the same the same size clothes.
That
shirt is young.
I, of course, had to take a picture of Liberty's 50s inspired look. Yes. And I'm noticing, like, I don't think it's super noteworthy, but JT's fashion has gotten better.
Mm-hmm. He's hanging out with the cool kids, going to DJ Mad Bullets concerts. He's got to step his cookies up.
Crazy Guns?
I mean DJ Bad Bullets, obviously.
DJ Crazy Gun.
Crazy Guns. It ride Crazy Horse, Crazy Guns. I'm so fucking done with Toby for that. Oh gosh.
I was done with Toby at peace. Viewers, in case you are only listeners and you didn't view it, he puts his like fist up.
Mm-hmm.
It's so bad.
The Black Power symbol. Don't do that.
It's no. No.
Don't do that.
Not for that situation.
No, at least. Not for that situation, at least. Yeah.
Hacking into Radich's user account to change Jimmy's grade is not a Black Power moment.
No,
it's
that's
not.
Like the, you know. Yeah, I have no time.
Do you have any more fashion?
I don't think so. Oh, wait, I did want to mention Paige's little gauzy number when she's talking to Manny in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks a similar vibe to, I mean, it's kind of like the outfit or the shirt that Manny was wearing the previous day in the vein of like the sleeves are billowy. But it's tighter on her. You know, Paige loves midriff, so she's got her midriff showing. It's like this peachy, like tan mix color. And it's got a bow. She's got it tied up at the top, so it had those strings that could have just been hanging there, but she chose to tie them. And it's a good look on her. You know, she's once again she's serving. But yeah, I think that's my last one.
I have a screenshot. I didn't know where else to put it. Mm-hmm. And I almost, like, you know, our rule is if it's something that could be changed, like haircuts are fair game. The background tag here behind Miss Hatzilakos, but it's so bad. She's got a Karen cut.
Yes. She has that cut that Kate, John and Kate plus 8.
Uh-huh.
The Kate from, yes, that, yep, that haircut.
You know how
I'm
really good at naming things and, like, coming up with concepts for things?
Mm-hmm.
So the second that John and Kate plus 8 came out, I was like, I can't wait for the sequel series, John and Kate divided by 8. I came up with a really good name for, like, a punk band of middle-aged women last week. Mm-hmm. Weaponized mm-hmm. Incontinence.
Oh, shit. That's beautiful.
Right? Can you imagine like a bunch of women in like their 50s with their like mm-hmm. little streaks of blue hair?
That would be so cute.
I would be a fan.
Could manage that.
Putting
it out there, taking.
So I feel like Paige has not said hun a lot this season, and they mm-hmm. really made up for that in this episode.
They did.
I counted 5, and I think I may have even missed some. I'm going to have to go back through, mm-hmm. and apologies, listeners, if I did. But she says to Manny in the hallway, don't worry, hon, it'll blow over about what's mm-hmm. going on. And then she says, oh, sure, hon, there you go. And I didn't note the context on that, listeners. And I'm sorry, but I don't remember the context. It's been a weird weekend.
Oh, it was toilet paper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Paige was passing Manny toilet paper under the stall.
And then Manny asks, like, how do you know if you wore a condom? And she says, well, were you there, hon? She says most of her huns to Manny this episode.
Yes.
Because then after that she says, and hon, remember, next time, ask questions first, get naked later. And then our last one is to Terry. It's after they talk shit on Manny in the bathroom, she says, or maybe it's before, but she goes, that's a really cute color on you, hon. What is it? Watermelon? So we've got five huns.
We have got five beautiful huns. They're all so good.
Our girl is back.
She's back and she's better than ever. Yeah.
From there?
I think, you know, from there, let's go fire some shots.
Yep.
Pew, 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 pew. Shots fired.
My first one comes right off the top.
Yes, mine too.
When, yeah, I think we just go back and forth on this episode. When Craig's taking the pictures and he tells Manny to smile and she's like, looking at you doesn't really make me want to smile.
The next one is obviously right after that when Ash says, hey, Ellie, do you smell something? And Ellie says, I think it's the particular stench of a boyfriend.
The peculiar stench.
Oh, I said particular, but I wrote peculiar. I did write peculiar. Yeah.
I had Manny saying to Emma, who died and made you my mother.
Oh, mine is a little bit. Okay. So my next one comes before that. Paige telling Manny, sweetie, you're looking a little pale. It's not good.
My next one is Jimmy to Toby. So I may be a bit ahead of yours.
Yes.
But when he says, you're such a fake man, you're a fake computer hacker, you're a fake rock fan, you're just 100%
fake. You're just 100% fake. Yeah. You definitely jumped ahead of me.
That's fine. Why okay. don't you kind of catch us up and we'll meet back up in the second episode.
Yeah.
So to speak.
I have JT saying, in response to Toby saying, why aren't me and Jimmy friends anymore? JT saying, that was before your hot step sizzle dumped his ass izzle. And I have to fire a shot at Manny for spooning that community school toilet like that. Because she is hugging it tight. And next, I have Manny saying to Emma, okay, who died and made you my mother? And then Manny saying, you're right, it is none of your business. And I think we have lined up with the next iconic line after that. That's the... I think there's like two iconic like shots fired in this episode, and you did one of them. So the next one is Sean saying, Liberty, you're about as edgy as a butter knife.
Which is iconic, but before that, I have when they get assigned to be partners, this is a two-parter.
Yes.
Sean goes, great.
One. I missed that one.
Brown-nosing, whip-cracking, loser freak Van Zandt. And her response is, great. Hell's Angel in training, slacker backslide Cameron.
Yes. Thank you for that, because I definitely missed that one. But on my second rewatch, I missed
another shot fired that I have is anyone named Maud will pick their nose and eat glue.
Yes.
Maud Apatow, can you confirm?
I was going to say Maud Apatow was getting some, got a shot fired and she was just minding her business. My next one is Ash saying, right after that, airing them out and saying, these two idiots are pregnant. That's right, because it's way too difficult to use a condom.
Yes. God, Ashley is so mad. She is in her villain era. And I have JT saying to Liberty, you know what, like, Liberty, this 3-year crush you have on me, it's getting a little boring.
Damn, that was mean.
I
have Paige telling Terry, Tear, you should be fixed for even thinking that. I like Manny, but this is the most loserish move ever. She's gonna be somebody's mother. She's ruining her life and probably her figure.
Penny gives no fucks.
Paige, you are so rude.
But facts.
I don't
believe that, you know, she might soften it a little bit, but she would say that to Manny.
Yeah.
You know, she
No, I think she would definitely no. She's not scared to say any of that to Manny, cuz it's where's the lie? She says I'm probably her figure. Like, she's not saying you, like, it's most likely, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, do you have any more?
I don't.
Okay, I have three more.
Okay, hit me.
I have Emma saying, well, why don't you take care of that piece of cake, Dad, to Craig when they're taking care of Jack. And then right after that, when Emma's on the listening to them on the baby monitor, and Chris is, and she's outside with Chris, she says, he's like, what's that? And she's like, parents in training. And he's like, parents in basic training. And then the last one I have is Spinner to Craig saying, can I ask you a question, dude? Then he thumps him in the head and he's like, are you on crack? And that is it for me. This is a good one for Shots Fired.
This is a good one for Shots Fired. Okay, so I think we've got a lot of shining stars.
We do. We've definitely got Spike. And I think Paige. Spike... And Paige, and we're doing the Lord's work out here, because Manny needed to get some kind of fucking education from and empathy from somewhere, and it wasn't Emma. So
I would
Spike give and Paige
it to Julieta Santos too.
Oh yeah,
is she, it Julieta she showed or Julieta, up. Do you think?
Because
As soon as I said Julieta, I realized that
that's Juliet. Yes, Julieta. Julieta. Yeah, I think that's right.
However she pronounces it.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think that she really does embrace the situation as best as she as could be expected. Right. And she does right by her daughter. And ultimately, Manny is able to, like, continue forward without as many emotional issues related to this.
Right.
Because I would say it's still traumatic because Emma's bitch ass. But yeah.
I would say, you know, honestly, I think that Manny shines.
I think that she shines. The only thing I didn't like was that I brought up that she kind of wasn't being truthful to Ashley. But ultimately, I do think that she carries herself well, and she articulates herself as best as can be expected in the situation. And she does advocate for herself. She doesn't feel like she doesn't allow herself to be... kind of bamboozled by Craig, and rather bulldozed by Craig in how she feels and what she wants to do with her body. And for that, advocating for yourself is always, you know, a shining star moment for me, because it's so hard to advocate for yourself sometimes. So that's four. We've got four shining stars.
Does anybody shine in the B-clots, really? No.
Jimmy sucks.
Well, yeah, Toby I was going to ask, does anybody JT bum sucks. You out?
Everybody. Well, obviously, Emma really bums me out. I just think that she does. She was on the way to being a shining star in the first episode, but she really does fucking shit the bed.
And it really does for me. It really, for me, it comes down to if she were some stranger, I would be furious with her.
That's what took her off the table for me, because that qualifier is just so harmful, and it's gross. And I'm like,
and it's weird. And like, standing your convictions,
doesn't make any sense.
If it's exactly. If it's wrong, why is it not wrong because it's your friend with a fetus that would have grown into a baby that you wouldn't know?
Exactly. Logic is not. Emma refuses to logic. But yeah, Craig's Emma refuses to reason. Whatever. Craig is a bummer.
I feel totally. For Craig, but Craig's a bummer.
But Craig's a bummer. Ashley's a bummer. I feel for Ash, but she's a bummer.
Yeah.
Ellie's a bummer Ellie's for that one bummer. Comment. Because you didn't have to do that. Even though Sean does redeem himself, he is a bummer because he didn't need to.
Sean's a bummer.
He humiliates her in person and then, or in public, and then apologizes in private. And yeah.
Yeah.
He's a bummer for that. Liberty is definitely a bummer, though. She played her role. Yeah. We already said Toby, JT, Quan, they all piss me off. They all bum me out.
I don't know. Quan's a fuck them kids, and I get it.
Well, yeah, I guess she's being consistent, isn't she?
Yeah.
I guess I can't really expect anything different from her. She hates these kids.
It's fine.
She hates these kids, and she doesn't care. Who knows it? But, yeah, I think that's, like, it for me. I mean, Radish was involved in here. He was in here. I don't really think he did much for me. Radish was fine. No, you're a bummer. He was fine. He was just there.
He was doing a bit of, like, he was reprimanding students who broke into the school computer to change grades. Like,
right.
Fuck Toby extra for being a snitch.
No, actually, Toby was just like, yeah, I had to dime you out, obviously.
Like,
I couldn't go down for this by myself. You were the reason why I did this.
Even with it being Jimmy's grade, you could have been like, I had overheard Jimmy saying that he was, you know, going to fail math and it was going to be bad for him and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And right. I want Jimmy to like me. So I thought that I'd break in and change his grade and then be able to be like, hey, man. And then maybe he'd be my friend. But no, you ratted him out.
But no, you ratted him out and you're expecting him to, like, not.
Toby doesn't have whatever it takes.
No, he doesn't. Not right now. But yeah. I think that's a good. I don't have anybody else to add to either list. So
yeah, do you go there?
Does it go there?
We have to ask, did it go there? And I mean, yeah.
Right. I mean, we're talking teen pregnancy. Yeah.
And we were talking teen pregnancy. And
potential teen smoking. 5-finger discount on the pack of smokes.
Mm-hmm. Even the B plot goes there. Like cyber attacking your school.
Right.
To change a person's grade is also kind of damn. The B plots usually don't have as many like stakes.
Yeah.
Even this season, the B plots have been kind of like, eh. But this B plot, with Toby and Jimmy actually amounts to something. And I think for that, it certainly goes there. But for many other reasons also.
I would concur. It goes there. Thank you for listening to Your Mom's Podcast. Next week, we're going to be talking about Tape on Me, the polarizing Breakfast Club episode.
I can't wait.
This episode of Your Mom's Podcast is sponsored by Planned Parenthood, DJ Crazy Guns, and support from listeners like you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Podcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Podcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-podcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.
We would like to say a thank you to our Patreon subscribers.
Octavia Faith.
Margot Mancini. June Bard.
And A-Butts.
And a very special thank you to our Titty Snake producer, Alika Fenderson.
Thank you so much for supporting the show, guys.
Thank you. Ew, I hate how I said thank you. Thank you.